My text verse is that verse 30 that we read a moment ago, where God says, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Some of you have already testified tonight about your love of country. I still believe, even though all the things that are going on in America that we might not agree with, that we live in the greatest nation on earth. And I would not want to live anywhere else. God has blessed, and I believe he's blessed because the country was founded on his principles, as Dan testified a moment ago, and because there have been people down through the ages. Sometimes we might think it's only a remnant, but there have been people down through the ages that have stayed true to those principles and worship God. I want you to know tonight that this is a different message. I shouldn't say that. Let me say it like this. I sort of changed the menu for tonight. We're still having the meat course that I intended for us to have yesterday, but I've changed the side dishes a little bit this afternoon because of some things that were said to me going out this morning after the message. I had several people tell me as they shook my hand and went out, they said, Pastor, Preacher, Brother Darrell, I think the greatest days of America are behind her. They said, in so many words, they said, God may prolong his judgment, but I don't think there's any hope for us to ever regain the glory that we knew as a nation. I don't think there's any hope of us doing that. And, of course, I wanted to tell them that when they say things like that, they're limiting God. They're putting God in a box. They're saying that God can't do what he's capable of doing. The promise that we talked about this morning in 2 Chronicles 7:14 is a real promise. I don't think it has expired. I don't think God has withdrawn it. I think if God's people will do the things that we talked about this morning, that he indeed will hear our land, will hear our prayer, forgive our sin, and heal our land. If I didn't think that, I would worry about my grandkids. I would worry about the little kids that go to this church, what kind of future they have. I still believe that we have a God that if we will turn back to him, if we will pray, if we will humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our sin, I still believe that we have a God that has the power to bless our nation. And we can be a nation that is not, as some people refer to us today, as a religious nation, but we can be, again, a godly nation. We can be a nation that truly stands for and presents to the world the principle of the one true living God. And this world needs that more today than I believe it ever has. And so I know there are things that have happened in our country that we have disagreed with, that we have been heartbroken about. The Supreme Court ruling on homosexuality was one of those things. The transgender discussion that's going on today and the rules that have been passed that, you know, people can decide what restroom they want to use and not have any repercussions. I know the events of the last week, that have taken place in our country, but have taken place in the world, the attacks. Gene and I were talking about it before the service, the attacks that ISIS have carried out around the world, hundreds killed in just the past week. And I believe more than anything else tonight, we need to hear what God said to his nation of Israel when he said, I sought for a man among them to stand before me, to make up the hedge so I wouldn't destroy the land, but I found none. And so God said, I had to pour out my anger, my indignation on the country. And he spells out in those verses we read what was going on in the nation. And if you stop and read it and think about it a little while, you could see that those same things are going on in our country today. But we need men. And again, as I mentioned this morning, I'm not talking about males. I'm talking about Christians. I'm talking about people that will stand in the gap. I think there's still hope for our nation.
I think God can still work. But he's looking for people that will stand in the gap so that that his destruction will not come. I was thinking about it this afternoon as I thought about what people said to me this morning as I prayed about it. I'm sure there were people in Israel at the time of when God spoke to Ezekiel here in this passage. I'm sure there were people in Israel that said, our greatest days are behind us. I'm sure there were people in Israel that says, God's done with us. God cannot use us anymore. I'm sure there were people in Israel that had given up hope. And yet, as you move forward from this passage through time, God did come back to his nation. As they turned back to him, God came back to them. God blessed them again. God used them again. They were his people again. And again, I have that same hope for our country. I have that same hope for the United States of America. But God is looking for people. He's looking for people like you and me that would stand in the gap for our land. Tonight, I have a simple message. God's looking for three kinds of people. People that will do three things to stand in the gap. And so America, and I'll just say people tonight so that the ladies won't think I'm leaving them out, because you can stand in the gap as well. You can be that person that stands in the gap to protect our nation. America needs people, first of all, like the Apostle Paul, who know for sure they're saved and aren't ashamed of it. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, for I know whom I have believed. Paul knew for sure that he was saved because he had put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He put his faith and trust in what Jesus did on Calvary to make him right with God. Paul wasn't depending on the goodness or the good things that he was doing for his salvation. He knew he was a sinner. He wrote, I'm the chiefest of sinners. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and I'm the worst one. I'm the chiefest of sinners. And so Paul knew that he was saved, not because of his works. He knew that he was saved because of what Jesus Christ did for him. We need to have that same assurance. We need to know that we are saved, part of God's family, because we've been blood bought by the blood of Jesus Christ that was precious, and it was shed on Calvary. And then Paul went on to say, I'm not ashamed of that gospel. He wrote in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And that's the kind of people that God's looking for today to stand in the gap. People that know they're saved because they put their trust in Jesus Christ, and people that are not ashamed of it. People that will proclaim that message, and I'll get ahead of myself if I'm not careful, because that's going to be my third point tonight. But God needs a people that know and rest upon the faith in Jesus Christ to make them right with him and are not ashamed of it. Again, Paul said, I know whom I have believed. He wrote in Luke wrote in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's Jesus and him alone. And John wrote in 1 John, these things that I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. We need to know today that we have eternal life. We need to know today that we are part of God's family. We need to know today that we are one of his children, and we should not be ashamed of that fact. I have a shirt that the church bought when we had a program for the kids. It talks about being in the Lord's army. I love to wear that shirt. I wear it around the neighborhood. I have people that say, hey, I like your shirt, and I like the thought. I say to them, praise God, praise God. I wore it into Menards one day this week when I was getting some stuff for the church. I had four people that stopped me in Menards and say, "Are you a Christian?" I said, "Yes, I am." "How could you tell?" "Because of your shirt in the Lord's army." I said, "I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not depending on my works. I'm depending on the work, that completed work that he did on Calvary. I'm not ashamed to call Jesus my Savior. I'm not ashamed to call Jesus my Lord." And that's the way, that's the kind of people that are God, that God is looking for to stand in the gap for our nation. Those that know whom they have believed and those that are not ashamed of it. One time Paul was preaching and the authorities got all over him for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they beat him and they told him to stop preaching. The next day, they brought him before the authorities again, and they rebuked him. They said, "Hey, we told you to stop. We told you to quit preaching about Jesus Christ." And Paul told him, he said, I don't care what you told me. I cannot help but share the things, preach the things that I know about, John and Peter, they brought him before the authorities and said, "Quit preaching." And they said, "We can't help but preach the things that we've seen and heard. We can't help but share the things that we've seen in Jesus Christ." And they weren't ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Neither should we be. So God's looking for people like Paul who know they are saved and aren't ashamed of it. Number two, God's looking for people like Elijah who will stand for what's right when no one else will. Who will stand for what's right when it seems like everybody else is against them. Who will stand for what's right regardless of what the odds are, what the world says, what the culture says, who will stand for right. You know the story of Elijah as well as I do. He lived in a time where Ahab was the king and Jezebel was the queen. They worshiped Baal. And the people of God were questioning who was really God. Was it the Jehovah God or was it Baal? And so they got together to have a test. Elijah was on one side, 400 or 850 prophets of Baal, prophets of the grove on the other side. And Elijah said to God's people, "How long halt ye between these two opinions? If Baal's God, then serve him. But if God's God, then serve him." And you know the story. Elijah took them to Mount Carmel. They were going to have a test. The test was the God that sent fire from heaven would be the God that they worship. And so Elijah let the prophets of Baal go first. They built an altar. They put a sacrifice on that altar. And the prophets of Baal tried to pray down fire from heaven, and nothing came. They prayed. They cut themselves. They danced around. They called out to their God, but nothing happened. Elijah built an altar. He laid a sacrifice on it. He poured 12 barrels of water on it to soak it down. And then he prayed. He prayed, and God sent fire from heaven. God sent fire to consume the sacrifice, consume the altar, lick up all the water in the ditch that it was in around the altar. And Elijah proved to the people, or Elijah didn't prove it, but God proved to the people that he was God. They went and killed the prophets of Baal. Jezebel, Ahab went back and told Jezebel what had happened, and Jezebel said to Elijah, "About this time tomorrow, you're going to be like one of them. I'm going to kill you." Now, you would think Elijah, after just praying down fire from heaven, you would think Elijah, after seeing God work in this mighty way, would say to Jezebel, "Bring it on, lady. Bring it on. There's nothing that you can do to me that my God can't stop if he wants to." And he should have stood. He would have been a better example if he would have stood. Instead, he got scared and he ran and he went out into the wilderness. And God came to talk to him. And here's what Elijah said: "I'm the only one left. I'm the only one left that still believes that you're God. I'm the only one left that hasn't bowed their knee to Baal." And that's what I want to concentrate on tonight. That's what I want to point out to you. And that wasn't true. God said to Elijah, "Hey, I still have 7,000 people that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. I still have 7,000 people, a remnant that's still true to me." But I want to say to Elijah, and I want to say to us tonight, if we're the only one left, If everybody else has turned against God, if everybody else has quit worshiping Jehovah God, then God's looking for people to stand in the gap that will stand for right, regardless of what the world says, regardless of what our culture says, regardless of what the Supreme Court says, regardless of what the president says, regardless of what these multi-million dollar corporations say by agreeing with the law of the land. God's looking for a people that will stand in the gap, and regardless of what the odds are, stand for right. Amen. Don't ever be discouraged because you think you're the only one, because you and God are always a majority. It doesn't matter if the rest of the world believes the wickedness that's coming out in the world today with you and God. If you and God are by yourselves and you are a majority, you stand for right. The great Methodist preacher, Bob Jones, says, do right, do right, do right. Do right till the stars fall, because it's always right to do right. And God's looking for people to stand in the gap that will stand for truth and right regardless of what the world says. And then number three, God is looking for people like Abraham who will beg God for the souls of men. God was on his way to destroy Sodom. Lot was living there, Abraham's nephew. God stopped by Abraham's to tell him what he was going to do. He was going to destroy Sodom. Abraham fixed God a meal, and then he began to pray. He began to pray for the city of Sodom. He began to pray for his nephew. He said, Lord, you're a righteous God. What if there's 50 people in Sodom? What if there's 50 people, righteous people in Sodom? You're a faithful God. You won't kill the righteous with the unrighteous, will you? And you know the story. God told Abraham, no, if I find 50, I won't kill. And Abraham said, well, what if there's only 5 missing? What if there's 45? Will you kill 45 righteous people by destroying the city of Sodom? And God said, no, if there's 45, I won't destroy it. And again, you know Abraham's, you know his prayer, you know his argument with God. What if there's 40? What if there's 30? What if there's 20? What if there's 10? What if there's just 10 righteous people in Sodom? Wouldn't you spare the city for those 10 righteous people? And God said, if I find 10 righteous people, I'll save the city. Well, he didn't find 10 righteous people. There weren't 10. There should have been 10. I mean, Lot and his wife, he had 2 daughters, probably had 3 daughters, probably had many people in his household that he could have turned to God, but he didn't. And God destroyed the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. But I want you to look at Abraham. I want you to look at how he prayed for his nephew, how he stood before God and begged God to spare his nephew. God's looking for people to stand in the gap that will beg him for the souls of men, that will beg him for people to come see to Savior. That's what God's looking for. Again, I know there's a lot of things in our country that we wouldn't agree with, that if we were in charge, we wouldn't let happen in our nation. And we might at times feel powerless. We might think, there's nothing that I can do to save my country. There's nothing I can do to help America. Yes, there is. Yes, there is. You can do the 4 things that we talked about this morning. You can humble yourself and realize that everything that we have, everything that you have, comes from God. He has let you work, but who gave you the strength to work? He has let you labor with your hands, but who gave you the ability to labor with your hands? And everything that we have, everything that we have comes from God. If we can remember that, that will keep us humble. It will keep us in that humble spirit that God's looking for. We can pray. Oh, we can pray. We can pray. Prayer, again, I mentioned this morning. Prayer, we have a God that can do anything. And prayer reaches the heart of God. Reaches the heart of God. We can seek his face. More than anything else, we need to seek the face of God. We need to know that his eyes are always upon us, and we want them always upon us. And then we can turn from our sin. We can do those things. And then we can be a person. We can be a person that knows that we're saved and are not ashamed of our Savior, not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can be a person
that stands for right, regardless of what the world says. And we can be a person that begs God for souls. Again, I still have hope. I still have hope that God can be God, that God can bless our nation again. And it doesn't depend on electing better politicians. It doesn't depend on paying down the debt. It doesn't depend on anything that the government or the education system or all the systems of the world, of our nation and of the world might do. It depends on us. It depends on God's people. We hold the key. We hold the key. And we can stand in the gap and save our land. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the precious promises still true. Again, Father, you made promises to Israel. And I'm sure there were people at different times that wonder if those promises were still good, if those promises could ever be fulfilled again. And you proved yourself over and over and over and over again that you were an omnipotent God capable of doing anything that you promised. Help us to realize you haven't changed. You're still that kind of God. Promises are still in the book. The promises are still true. The promises can still be claimed. Help us to claim them. Help us to be the kind of people that you want us to be that will lead to the healing of our land. Help us to be like the men that we talked about tonight that you're looking for to stand in the gap so you won't destroy our land. And Father, I pray that you'll find us faithful. You'll find us there standing in the gap. I pray you bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. If there's something that somebody needs to do, help us to be obedient tonight. I ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.